How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
MLB blackouts, maybe the insane cost of Sunday ticket, whatever it might be. NordVPN.com/Fightful is here to help. You get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You change your virtual location with one click. Maybe you want to be in the West Coast when you can't watch a game on the East Coast. They got you covered. Maybe the pay-per-view prices are just too high or there's too many of them. Switch your virtual location overseas and get the prices that they're paying there. NordVPN.com/Fightful does it all for you. And that's in addition to their password manager, their protection on public Wi-Fi, the ability to use it on all your devices, including your router, your TV. It doesn't matter. They've got you on all those. And a 30-day money-back guarantee. Maybe you're just feeling wild and you want to try it. Well, you know what? In 30 days, if you don't like it, spoiler, you will. You can get your money back. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's October 13th, 2024. Sean Ross Sapp. It's the Fightful AEW Wrestle Dream post show as my light behind here just keeps sinking and sinking. I think we'll be okay. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. We are going to have just a ton of backstage news here. I want to know what you guys think about AEW Wrestle Dream. My review in like two sentences of this show were about the same as my review of almost every AEW pay-per-view that I've watched. Incredible show that was way too long. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about everything that happened. And I want to know what you guys thought. Get your super chats and humper chats in here at youtube.com/Fightful. But listen, thousands of you watch on Twitter, on Twitch, on Facebook, on any number of other platforms. So you can go over to humperchats.com. That's hump like a camel's hump, or hump like, come on, you know what you're doing. Humperchats.com. Get your questions or statements read on the air. Lots of stuff went down. And FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 a month in the business or $54 a year in the business, had a bunch of exclusive news. We'll just pat ourselves on the back. My God, my light just almost tipped over on me. It's not a good start here. We will pat ourselves on the back as that all comes up. But let's go ahead, get right into the show, because let's be real. It's a long show. I want to thank our sponsors, NordVPN.com/Fightful. With everybody asking, where can you watch whatever around the beginning of the year, just get NordVPN.com/Fightful. They have a great deal. I also want to thank BetOnline.ag. We had an underdog pick where if you would have put down a couple $100, you would have like doubled or tripled your money the other day. Takeshita was our underdog pick. Danielson retiring was an underdog pick as well. So we actually had some this time. There were some that I spotted out, posted on our Discord. Lots of good stuff over there at Bet Online, but I'll be giving you the odds or the odds favorites as we go along. Big thank you to them, as well as Helix and Manscaped. Let's first off shout out our dude, Zach Schimmel, one of our longtime supporters, subscribers, says, officially my birthday now, 33 and going. Happy birthday, Zach, and thank you so much for this generous super chat and all the modding you do. He said, what an amazing night of wrestling. The Triple Threat is my match of the year. Danielson has an amazing short reign. Cole returns. We're missing the best bout machine. Much love to the community. Subscribe to Select. So we had broken a story, Zach, that I think we can kind of tie into and talk about a little bit. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. We broke a story last night. Jimmy Jacobs, who had been Tony Khan's right-hand man for for an awful lot of stuff, had been at more shows than anybody outside of Tony in the last year and a half, effectively resigned. And we're told that AEW is using that as an opportunity, despite it being amicable, despite it him being well-liked. They are taking this as an opportunity to creatively pivot. I wouldn't say reset, reboot, but I mean, I think it's fair to say that in many instances, they've lost their way and they're aware of that. You know, look at the All Out card. There's a bunch of champions that should have been defending their titles competing against other champions. Look at people getting title shots off of like one win. This is not the way that it would have happened. So I look at the way that things went tonight. It's the closest they have been in years to being almost 100% at the top of the card. They got back MJF, Swerve, and Cole from absences or injuries tonight. Daniel Garcia has re-signed, and it's clear that he is going to be involved moving forward. Bryan Danielson wrapped up for a while. Man's legitimately got to have surgery. We have a major update on how all this unfolded over the last few months over on FightfulSelect.com with him as well. But there's a lot for AEW as far as getting back talent that I think goes a long way. One of the things I think you can't do is lean too much into ex-WWE guys. I don't think that you can do 14 match cards all the time. You've got to streamline your titles, and you got to make wins and losses matter. Now, I'll say this, as I get started, is every finish of a wrestling pay-per-view supposed to be like happy and celebrating and all that stuff? Like, sometimes you do need heat. Now, if you get to the point to where we were 5-6 years ago, where people were booking heat to spite the audience, I don't think that's productive and that's good. But I mean, like, I think I saw somebody say, y'all allergic to heat or something like that. You want to develop heat for some characters. And yeah, I mean, am I over the moon? Like, hell yeah, great finish. No, I mean, trying to murder someone, heat is stupidity. Listen, do you know how long you got to hold a plastic bag over somebody's head to murder them? We're talking like 3 or 4 minutes there. It takes a long time to do that. It takes a long time to get something like that done. They have ideas for the top of the card. Somebody asks if Jimmy Jacobs was the head writer. I mean, Tony, the buck stops with Tony. I saw a lot of scapegoating and stuff. I saw a lot of scapegoating. I think the buck stops with him. People are saying, why do you know that? Because I watch Investigation Discovery all the time. Do you guys know how many times I've asked for Joe Kenda of Homicide Hunter to do a spot on AEW? Listen, guys, a person from my town that used to go to, like, I would run into at the gym is all over national news right now for doing some crazy. I don't know if y'all saw that story. Like, a person that a lot of us were acquaintances with dismembered allegedly her mother and was cooking her this week. Insane story. Go look it up. It's crazy. So pardon me if seeing the plastic bag thing isn't really registering with me at this stage. We will talk about that because, of course, I have plenty of complaints and things that I loved and things that I did like, didn't like, all that. I'm going to put it on slow mode for our wonderful mods here. And I'm going to make sure that subscriber mode is on. Somebody said, thought you knew Diddy there for a second. Diddy followed me on Twitter. He was a big wrestling guy and for some reason followed me on Twitter. I don't know. I never talked to the guy. But yeah, I ain't keen on that either. Leave a thumbs up. Now, I want to address this. Somebody says, I feel like some people can't accept even a modicum of AEW criticism without them being labeled haters. It was a good show. Enjoyed 95%. The ending was trash. Now, see, I could say that I enjoyed less than 95%, but I didn't find the ending trash. And I'm going to have a lot of people saying, well, you're making excuses for this. I had people saying that about a storyline that just picked back up. We'll talk about it. Meet Norman says, PSA, you don't cook your own mom. I mean, ideally not. I mean, it's, you know, it's a tragic, horrible, gross situation. It's really rocked my local area, but let's go ahead and get into this show. Brian Cage defeated Atlantis. Cage wins the ROH TV title. We are going to be a little bit quicker on the draw with these 0 hour matches. I understand that Tony loves giving an awful lot of people a spot on this show. But listen, man, at no point have I ever been like, hell yeah, 14 match card, 13 match card. I'll never feel that way. I would rather have seen this match on ROH TV. Cage winning was expected. BetOnline AG had him as a favorite. Solid work here. Anna Jay defeated Harley Cameron. Anna Jay, her improvement is evident. Harley Cameron, I've mentioned this before, has often been thrown into the fire and I think has succeeded very well. I think that she has done really well in the spots that she has been put in. But yeah, I saw some people saying, oh, no, they need to split Saraya and Harley. No, man. I think that's the best way to maximize Saraya is to keep her with Harley. I think that their act is actually pretty entertaining, pretty good. I think it really highlights their personalities. They play off of each other very, very well. And I would continue that. The Acclaimed defeated MXM Collection. MXM teased a third man. I thought, you know, maybe a Tyler Breeze or somebody like that. Maybe like what other models? Rick Martel, he's not really doing wrestling or anything like that. They got the best guy. They got Rico Constantino, who managed Billy and Chuck. They have tried to get Chuck Palumbo in the past. Fightful Selected reported this in the past, but yeah, they got Rico, which I thought was really great. Now, listen, this was very sports entertainment. Their act, the Outrunners act, is very, very sports entertainment. And I'm okay with limiting this over-the-top sports entertainment element that, let's be real, Jimmy Jacobs was very keen on having done a lot of the Jericho stuff and the Learning Tree stuff. I'm good with limiting it to like something like this and not putting it that much, because I think you do need tag teams like MXM and the Outrunners. It is very important to have some with color and personality, and that's what we had here. The Acclaimed are over everywhere but the internet. I am well past the age where I'm going to break down Max Caster raps. I can't pretend that I pay attention to those. But I will say this. Rico had not wrestled in almost 20 years and about 4 months. And he did all right. Like, it is not always easy for wrestlers to take a fame master. Dude did it pretty solid. Couple notes from the scrum. Tony Khan is not there. This was decided on the other day. Tony and Nigel are moderating it. Now, also, Tony will not be at the Jags game tomorrow. This is a rarity. Fightful Selected broken this. Usually he's at those, but it's a 9-hour plus flight to get to London, and he would barely be there to make it for the game. And, you know, barring any delays or anything like that, he would get there probably like halftime or something like that. So he's not going to make it to London for the Jaguars game, which is a rarity. Mercedes Moné and Camille are confronted by Queen Aminata. So I love Queen Aminata in the ring. I think that you should feature people like Queen Aminata more on Dynamite and Collision to build them as contenders. I think that is absolutely important. I think that the Mariah Mays and the Mercedes of the world should be wrestling in high profile situations. But Queen Aminata, basically got this title match because of a promo. Like, she interrupted Mercedes. Her last win on TV was Harley Cameron, which they gave her a couple weeks ago. Before that, she lost to Serena Deeb. And I'm like, man, would it kill them to do a thing where they just had somebody win three or four matches and get a title shot? And somebody's saying she has been on Collision. I know. I watch Collision. She has been on Collision, losing to Serena Deeb. She beat Robin Renegade. That's great. I'm glad she picked up a few wins. But I'm like, did you need to insert that one little Serena Deeb loss before she's going to face Mercedes? Somebody says not a title match. I guess you're right. They didn't have that on the graphic. Fair point. Fair point. I'm a dumbass. Tony Schiavone welcomed AEW president Tony Khan and Antonio Inoki's grandchildren, and they tried to lead in a chant, and oh boy, did this flop. This is a sad state of affairs. This is not... Listen, when you do 14 matches and like six segments on a show, you are bound to have a large sample size of things that people don't like. You maybe streamline a little bit. You don't have to take it to five matches like WWE, but oh man, I understand trying to honor Inoki and all that stuff, but this was so unintentionally hilarious. Like, Tony is clearly so well intending, but damn, man. The Outrunners and the Conglomeration defeated Dark Order and Premier Athletes. A lot of punches in this match. I think they did like 30 in a row up there. Outrunners continue to win. They're over. Probably the right move. Absolutely a match that could have been on Rampage or Collision. Jerry Lynn put over Orange Cassidy. And it said, you know what? I see a lot in you. And sometimes when you're motivated, you do incredible things. It seemed very random, like for it to be Jerry Lynn. But okay. Kenneth Smith. See, I was right. Not a dumbass. Is for the title. Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Okada is confronted by Kyle O'Reilly. Both are ejected from the arena. I'll tell you what I would have liked a lot more than this is Okada defending his championship on this 234 match show. That's what I would have really enjoyed. That would have been great for me. Outside of the pack defense, like, when's the last great Okada singles match? And I'm not talking like, oh, that was a fun little match. I'm talking like an Okada match. I want them to unleash Okada. And if that guy ain't going to be unleashed, what the hell you got him there for? To press a button and say, bitch? Come on now. Come on now. They need to streamline these titles. Somebody said Danielson 2 weeks ago. Listen, I'm sorry. that match was not anywhere approaching what they did 9 months ago. Are you kidding? I saw a decent match compared to what they did in January. That ain't nowhere near the compared to what Okada did with Ospreay a week after that. Compared to the Pac match, not for me. I'm not thinking so. Compared to the Naito match, like just over a year ago, Zack Sabre Jr. I feel like he had a better match with back to back with Taichi and Yoshihashi than he has had back to back matches in AEW. I want to see that guy. That's what I want to see. Well, BetOnline.ag had Switchblade Jay White as the favorite against Adam Hangman Page. And what a way to kick off this show. For all that bitching and moaning that I just did, woo, this is great. I always think about how you would hear about Bruce Pritchard talking about Randy Savage. And he says, you win him in the ring, you lose him in the ring, and if you're good enough, you stay over. That's Hangman Page, buddy. That is Hangman Page. He can afford to lose here, and it accentuates his crazy-ass character. There was a powerbomb on the stairs that was filthy. There was a suplex. I can't remember if it was from Hangman. It was the sleeper suplex. This is a beautiful example of how deep this roster is. Last year, Switchblade was main eventing Wrestle Kingdom. And he needs to be elevated and put up to that level. The storyline last year was not good. The build, the execution with MJF wasn't good. But Switchblade is still good. And we're talking about a show tonight where Adam Cole, MJF, Swerve, Samoa Joe, Kenny Omega, Britt Baker, Chris Statlander, Mercedes were all not booked to wrestle. Think of the star power that was not even booked to wrestle. And you got these two guys opening up this show and killing it. This is the perpetual thing with pro wrestlers is a lot of times, and I'm not saying that Hangman or Switchblade were either like this, but a lot of times when I talk to them, they'll say, man, I fear that they forget about me. I'm afraid they'll forget about me. Wrestling fans don't forget, man. Not this. They don't forget. In absence, what they forget is some of that bad booking that took place. Now, Cole and MJF aren't so lucky later on, but we'll talk about that. The finish to this was phenomenal. Just amazing. Hangman had his leg, knee worked over, and he slowed a little bit on the buckshot lariat. And ooh boy, was that a beautiful finish. Sometimes you run into that. Sometimes you hobble through one. And Switchblade took advantage of that, hit the Blade Runner. Crowd was so hot for it. Perfect. So Adam Cole's randomly a face. Now send a super chat, friend. We would greatly appreciate it. We'll be talking about that. There's a lot to get into. A whole lot to get into. FightfulSelect.com had a bunch of scoops on that one. So I'm interested in where does Hangman go from here. He seems satisfied that Swerve doesn't have the AEW world title. I would like to see, once Lashley does show up, maybe them give a storyline reason as to why Hangman's just like kind of slowing up and minding his own business. Because otherwise, I just believe that Hangman's like, you know, one of those guys is never going to give up on his goal. But now he's probably a little pissed off at Switchblade. Because that's the way that Hangman went. He went from a guy that really didn't have any of that stuff coming to a guy that was looking to get back at Swerve and went way overboard. And now it's like, well, should he have been the bigger man? Or is he starting to pay for those sins that he also committed in trying to get back at a guy? Can't wait to see how this one works out. Oh, let me tell you. Mariah May defeated Willow Nightingale. BetOnline AG had her as the favorite. Mariah May needed this. I think that she really needed this. I feel like it was very important for her to have a signature title defense. And this was it. Because it was very clear to me that AEW knew what they were doing from the jump with Mariah May, developing her, promoting her, signing her, and then having this story up to the title. It's the what next that an awful lot of people are like, oh, well, now what's going on? And again, I am of the opinion that a Mariah May should be like Shao Kahn watching everybody else fight. Once you become the champion, like you defend it on TV and stuff like that, but no disrespect to anybody else. I didn't need to see Mariah May beating Queen Aminata in an eliminator. Her beating Nyla Rose in a title match. Yeah, sure. If Nyla Rose had, you know, earned the title match and all that stuff, but against Lady Frost in an eliminator that went 3.5 minutes, but you could have somebody, you could develop a contender in that amount of time. So have her watching like Shao Kahn while everybody battles it out to compete for her. Willow is a good example of what's more important, winning the last match of the feud or winning like 2 out of 3. And that's something that somebody brought up to me recently, and I was like, okay, that's a fair point. I think that at least coming off of a win is important. But God, man, Willow's over. Willow is over big time. And this crowd showed it. And this was a slapper of a match. This was an incredible match. And I believe the type of match that Mariah May needed for her reign. And with Willow, I mean, she's won other titles and stuff, but very clearly can compete at the main event level as it pertains to world title matches. And she won the top contender match. She beat Trisha Dora. She beat Taya Valkyrie. Now, I know that she lost the CMLL title match in Mexico and lost to Chris Statlander, but she had been winning up until that. And I'm glad that they had her pick up a few wins en route to becoming the top contender. The moonsault attempt worked so good. The Death Valley driver in the corner got a great reaction. Willow just gets pops for everything. And this is what I've been waiting to see from Mariah May since her title reign started. There's this spot towards the end of the match that I just thought was a great roller coaster. And it's where Mariah May is going for that Frankensteiner. But then Willow holds on to her and you're like, oh no, Willow's going to hit that power bomb. And then Mariah May does the Hurricane Rana anyway, the Frankensteiner, ends up winning with Storm Zero. I love that she's still using Tony's move. And I love that we haven't seen Tony yet. Give Tony some time off. Give the audience a little bit of a break from her. Maybe even reinvent her after you had a phenomenal run with her. And then you can bring her back. Very, very good stuff out of these two. I'll tell you some good stuff. Manscaped. Nobody wants to see your hairy balls, so clean them up. Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL is taking care of you. Maybe you're just looking at yourself and you're going, I'm too far gone. There's nothing I can do. Manscaped's got you covered. And you might say, but Sean, there's... just so much. Where do I begin? Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL. That's where you begin. That's where you go. That's what you do to figure out all this. Body wash, body buffers, shampoo, beard oil, beard balm, beard trimmers, beard combs, and then stuff for your nether regions. Ear and nose hair trimmers. What don't they have? at manscaped.com when you use that code Fightful. If you travel too much, you're like, I can't be bothered with that. They got the Go Bag as well. They got the Groin and Go Bundle. They have everything for you. Don't let yourself go by the wayside. Take control of yourself and your cleanliness. Go to manscaped.com. Use that code Fightful. Let's pat ourselves on the back. FightfulSelect.com. In our Discord, we had posted that MJF and Adam Cole were both backstage awaiting their returns for this specific match, this specific spot. Shout out to our friends in the live chat on Discord. We got a nice little spoiler tag there to hide those as well, but just $5 a month, $54 a year. We had also reported on the Scoops thread that Adam Cole was backstage at this show. He is cleared. And MJF was at least telling people he had to return to filming Happy Gilmore 2. But let's talk about Jack Perry defeating Shibata. Tony Khan is a huge Shibata guy. Like, I mean this legitimately. The night that CM Punk returned to WWE, I got a message from Tony, and I was like, whoa, this is, first off, it's rare to hear from Tony Khan. And I was like, is this going to be Punk related? No, he just wanted the world to know that he respected Shibata and he wanted to get him back as soon as possible after his visa situation was cleared. Okay. This match existed. It happened. I like the idea and the concept of Jack Perry as TNT champion after the way they brought him back. I thought it was a natural heat moment, and I thought that's really when the Elite story was rocking. And boy, has that story fallen off a cliff for me. Shibata is so heavily protected in AEW ROH. I mean, he loses here and there, but let's look at his matches he's had. One on Rampage, he wrestled at 0 hour, won there, and then beat Jay Lethal, Brian Keith, Ari Daivari, Josh Woods, Evil Uno, Cage of Agony, The Learning Tree, Premier Athletes, Work Horsemen. The last time he didn't win part of a match in AEW was Double or Nothing. If they would book other title contenders like Shibata, I'd be like, hell yeah, brother. So Shibata getting the TNT title match makes all the sense in the world to me. They, you know, he wins a lot of matches and they protect him very, very heavily. Now, last year, you know, they had him losing to like Ospreay and Danielson, which are guys you want him to lose to. But also, I would argue Jack Perry is TNT champion is someone you also want him to lose to, which he did, but it was Jack Perry leaning back in a chokehold. I want to know what our audience, what chat thinks about that finish. Because I was like, eh. But it's you know what? Considering the nature of some of the other finishes, I was like, you know what? Don't mind it. But also, I think Jack Perry could have stood to have a much more decisive win, even if it was sneaking one out. The thing that I take issue with is the way that it's like perpetuated as if that's like some sort of dirty finish. It's not a dirty finish. Dude had like the Madden awareness rating down to 23. Like I just hate that finish because the person doing the choke looks like an absolute dork. Because what, they don't know that they're flat on their back. Usually you roll your shoulders up, you're pivoting to a hip, something like that. That's my issue with it. Not that Perry won with it, but the guy that's doing it looks like a dweeb as a result. So FightfulSelect.com reported that at one point, Daniel Garcia's return was actually discussed for tonight, and they would have had return, which I think works out pretty well. Daniel Garcia, you know, has long adored Shibata, so it made sense that he made the save here. And FightfulSelect.com reported that he is going to be integrated into the TNT title scene. I wish they would have established a little bit more, like, maybe like some sort of little nod, acknowledgement, anything like that between those two that night or tonight. Like maybe, I don't know if I missed a Shibata Daniel Garcia interaction, but just a Daniel Garcia running into Shibata and Shibata with his phone saying, "Great to see you again." You know, something like that. "You're going to do great things." Something like that. Some sort of endorsement from Shibata. I think that would have worked out great. Then MJF makes his return. MJF attacks Daniel Garcia. FightfulSelect.com reported that he would be coming back in our scoops thread. We edited our story. He is not wrapped on Happy Gilmore 2 yet. That was wires that were crossed. He had wrapped on that specific week of shooting, but has to go back to it. Also got cast in a Justin Long, Ron Perlman movie. But yeah. Oh, somebody said that happened. Okay. Great. I must have missed that. Was that on Tuesday night? Yep, that is why. They did that on Dynamite after DG said he was back. Thank God. Thank God. That was a busy night, obviously. But MJF makes his return. He said that he found the pawn shop that Daniel Garcia had pawned off his ring at. I was about to clock him with it. And Adam Cole comes back. Now, this is one that I see a lot of people taking issue with. And it's one that I am going to err on the side of caution with. Because I saw some people saying before Adam Cole could even take a shit for the first time since he came back, "This doesn't make any sense. Adam Cole was a heel. MJF was a babyface." Well, and thank you to Reno, where he says Shibata did do the thing with DG. Admittedly, I had the dual screen experience going on that night. My apologies. So I'm very glad they did that. So that sets it up perfectly. But as I look at the Adam Cole MJF thing, Cameron says, "Adam Cole is just randomly a face now. So I understand the concerns with this." The concerns, because AEW was far too habitual with just dropping stories. I think we can admit that. Just far too habitual. It happens way too much. Close the logic gap. Make sense of this. Make sense of that. It's one of the reasons to bring on my dude, Will Washington, but he ain't working on this story. This story started with a babyface Adam Cole trying to show MJF how to be a babyface. And MJF effectively faked it until he made it as a babyface. Until he really started to buy into his own stuff. And then Adam Cole, after months, keep in mind, after months of MJF considering right behind Adam Cole's back, Adam Cole does the devil storyline, which you can say whatever you want about it. It was over with the crowd. Execution ended up being poor. We dealt with an injury that sidelined Adam Cole for a year. And injuries that really adjusted the creative of MJF. But Adam Cole and his buddies did some very dastardly things to a guy who had been standing directly behind Adam Cole going, "I'll fucking do it." So was Adam Cole just stupid the whole time, or was he beating MJF to the punch? Now, his demeanor, his attitude, the actions that took place, you could say heel, sure. I would like to think that they are going to explain this as best possible, because I had somebody say, well, why did he even go after MJF now? Well, MJF took him out the last time he saw him, and Cole tried to make good with him. But if they don't go to the trouble of an explanation, if they don't go to the trouble of closing that logic gap, that's going to be a problem for me as a viewer. That's going to be a big issue for me. But to imply that after a TNT title match, a run-in, in which was far more tied in than I had even thought as I was trying to watch NXT at the same time, but he says Rex says Garcia did say he was going for the gold. The TNT seemed logical choice for him. Whether or not he cared about Shibata, I figured he'd try to make the issue with Perry. But after a TNT title match, after Daniel Garcia running out there, MJF running out there, Adam Cole running out there, we're supposed to get the full Inspector Gadget Scooby-Doo. Aha, this is why. And here's the obtuse shit I'm talking about. He was definitely a heel. Not sure you can spin this storyline-wise. Here's a secret. MJF is and always has been a piece of shit also. That's the thing. He's always been that. Why would any character with a brain trust him? He can be a more likable heel, but listen, we know better. He's MJF. And if you can go back to my shows in 2019 where people were saying, how could you turn MJF babyface? You have to have someone, pardon my language, that can out motherfucker MJF. Now, will the explanation that they provide be satisfactory? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. But what I'm not going to do is sit here the first night before Adam Cole has said a word, before they have bothered to explain it, and say, this sucks. This doesn't make any sense. I will give them the opportunity to make it make sense. What physically did Roman Reigns do to become a babyface? Roman Reigns didn't do shit. He lost a match and went away. All that was in absence with Solo Sikoa and other people. In Adam Cole's absence, we have seen MJF be a complete piece of shit and completely reinforce that the decisions in which Adam Cole made were probably pretty good decisions, as opposed to trusting this man. And somebody says, are you saying trusting MJF is like being friends with Kevin Owens? Whole lot of parallels there. Whole lot. I'm loving that Kevin Owens stuff right now. Loving that Kevin Owens stuff. Guess who Kevin Owens is buddies with? Adam Cole. Guess what Kevin Owens does? He watches the show. Adam Cole watched the show. He knew he was dealing with a piece of shit. He knew that dude was standing behind him with weapons going, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm just kidding. Come on, guys. Now, I sure as hell ain't going back and watching all those segments and all that stuff. But Zach Schimmel says, I think AEW has enough goodwill to allow I let it play out as I think they can make it make sense. That's where I am on it. I will let it play out, but they got to do good. They got to do good with this one. You're getting MJF back and you're getting Adam Cole back. And you got to do good on this one because this is a non-title feud that could be good. Now, like we're acting like double turns don't happen. We're acting like babyface heel is the end all be all. Why are we talking like it's that black and white? Why are we constraining ourselves to that? Now, if AEW does something in the follow-up that is insulting to the intelligence, by all means, I'll bury it. But I just don't see that here. I'm so glad to see Adam Cole back, by the way. Somebody says almost pushed him in the ocean. That he did. Oh, guys. Send in your super chats. Send in your humper chats. I would greatly appreciate it. How about this one? FightfulSelect.com. It's been a while since we had an underdog lock pick. And that was Takeshita. FightfulSelect.com reported a couple weeks ago that Takeshita was slated for a big push in a big program, and by God, he got it. I want to know what chat thinks of the finish here. Because where Takeshita is, I see Kyle Fletcher near there as well. Takeshita, Ospreay, Ricochet. You'd be shocked to learn. I heard that Ospreay wanted to put him over as well. But insane type of match. Now, in this type of match, you have a lot less downtime. There's more of an illusion of not selling than there is not selling. I saw a spot and I saw people saying, oh my God, they didn't sell a single move. And it was the German suplex to German suplex on Takeshita, which he sold. Didn't sell it like for an extended amount of time. And then there was Poison Rana that minimally sold. And then Poison Rana, where both guys were selling, then Takeshita does the double German suplex. I like that spot. Listen, I do think there should be more selling of stuff like Poison Rana's. That is a move that, like, I didn't think was possible without paralyzing a person 10, 15 years ago. But the extra ingredient here makes the inability to sell, or the desire to get up and gain your wits about you, much more urgent when you don't only have to worry about yourself getting pinned, you have to worry about another person getting pinned and screwing the whole thing up for you, right? That's what you gotta watch out now. Ricochet wearing the trunks too. Ricochet wearing the trunks. What'd y'all think of that? One of my qualms with the match, I'll tell you this, if Ospreay would have went to NXT, he would have fit in really well. He does a lot of that, like Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, Adam Cole, Black and Gold, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H, like really, really overact dramatically, huh? Type of stuff. It works for him. But for me, I'm like, ah, he sells plenty on his facial reactions. I think the main criticism on him is they wish he would do it more from a physical standpoint. I loved adding Takeshita to this match because you didn't get the clean finish the first time. You still didn't get a decisive winner between Ricochet and Ospreay. And you can do this down the line where it makes a lot of sense to do it. I honestly wouldn't mind seeing Ricochet and Ospreay team up as well. I think that would be a huge shot to the tag team division. But it ends as Kyle Fletcher betrays Ospreay. I've been having conversations with people this week about a thing I would do in AEW. Takeshita got his title win, getting a push. Daniel Garcia re-signed after years, getting a title picture push. Kyle Fletcher got himself in unreal shape, is so very clearly a next up guy, gets it from a social media perspective, a promo perspective. He's very good in ring. He looks like $1 million. He's a big dude as well. And he's about to have a big-time feud with Will Ospreay. Those are three guys you know are next up. And Ricky Starks is there and should have already been up. And I think, honestly, if Punk wouldn't have left, Ricky Starks' trajectory probably would have been way different. But you can only tell people that these guys are next up for so long, right? Until they're just like, all right, when's it happening? I'm glad these three guys are getting there. And here's the example that I made. Braun Breaker, Brock Lesnar, a couple of... I think, perfect examples in Gunther on the main roster of guys that immediately were pushed to the top, and we've bought them as main event guys. Is there anybody in this chat that didn't buy Brock Lesnar as a main event guy, Braun Breaker, or Gunther? However, not everybody's Braun Breaker, Gunther, and Brock Lesnar. Those are special specimens. But I'll give you an example. Alberto Del Rio, who is not good anymore, has an incredible amount of baggage, not a good guy. He is still getting bookings to this day in his mid-40s when he's not good. And that's because WWE immediately pushed him. They immediately let you know, this is one of our guys, and he's up now. He's not next up, he's up now. And I feel like sometimes, and AEW should really do this. I mean, Alberto Del Rio came in, won the Royal Rumble, won all of his matches, competed for a title at WrestleMania, didn't win it immediately, did shortly after, but they let you know he was that guy. He was that guy. And Luis says he's still the top champion of AAA because of that, despite everything, for some reason. If he doesn't have that WWE run, he is not AAA champion right now. That's how important that immediate, like, he's here, he's the guy type of run needs to like to happen. And we're talking about guys in Takeshita, Fletcher, and Garcia who are well past that point. They, you know, they've taken their big L's on TV an awful lot, like the Continental Classic run for Garcia and Takeshita. They took them a while to shit or get off the pot with that guy, even though it was clear to me a couple years ago he was a future big star. But I think AEW should get sold on homegrown, fresh, not former WWE guy, and anchor something to him, whether he be babyface or a heel, and be like, I'm giving you a chance to sink or swim right now. Let's go. I think that's important. DNC Digital says three-way added to the list of matches to show non-fans. I feel like if it had a clean finish, it would be. I personally, listen, I respect and adore these three competitors, but I would show them AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe before I would show them this because it had a clean finish. That's just my preference. Irene says, felt pay-per-view was 8.5 out of 10. Paige Switchblade, triple threat, women's title. Brian Mox, all ruled. Wish Private Party had won, but Takeshita's title win was awesome. Want to see how the evil BCC progresses. Yeah, I'm with you on these. I think Private Party winning would have been good. I'll talk more about that as it occurs. But yeah, I'm so glad Takeshita got that win. Swerve Strickland is back. I'm sure you guys got some super chats, humper chats about this, and I got some insight on this. So there were a lot of different ways that I felt about this. On a show this long, this is a segment that could have been on Dynamite. However, this is Swerve Strickland's home turf. He was always planned for this show, whether it be what a match, a segment, whatever, but creative changes did occur this week. Nana is out there. Swerve is out there. He says he's medically cleared. MVP shows up. Shelton is with him. They look like $1 million. They're trying to convince Swerve to join the Hurt Syndicate and say, you never called us. What's up with that? And and Swerve runs down Nana, and he's like, you know what? I did lose the title under your watch. You are still selling weed to high schoolers. I heard about that. But you're also family, and I don't turn on family. And then he rejects the offer of the Hurt Syndicate. And Shelton Benjamin steps up, and listen, guys, soft spot for Shelton Benjamin, my all-time favorite. And he says, it wasn't a request. We were telling you to join. And they walk off, and there's no Bobby Lashley. And since our good friend Zach Schimmel says, man, I thought Lashley was debuting here. He dropped a big super chat bomb earlier, so let's go ahead and address that. Lashley at one point was discussed for that. And when I followed up, I was told, well, considering the way that the show ended, having another hometown guy get beat down to that level probably wouldn't have made for an appropriate return. You know what I mean? Like, look how people are already reacting to the Danielson thing. Imagine if you had another hometown guy get the shit whipped out of him. Bobby Lashley is still on the way. He was discussed for this show. It did change, I think, in the last week or so. But he is en route to AEW. He is signed. He is under contract. That being said, like, I think all things considered, I see what they mean. I understand the devil's advocate of that. Like, if Swerve got his ass whipped and Bryan Danielson got, like, slaughtered, that's tiptoeing into, like, Vince McMahon, we just bury every single person in the hometown type of thing that you don't really want to get into. But I thought the segment was really great. And again, I understand why they put it here, the geographical location. It could have been on Dynamite. In fact, I feel like it's more important than ever for AEW with their new TV deal to take like four or five of these matches off of here and distribute them, toss them out onto Collision and Dynamite. Spread the wealth, man. Make your shows must watch. Lawrence Ross, thank you for the super chat. Hologram was a big favorite over the Beast Mortos on BetOnline AG. I had people asking, well, why is this match on this show? Well, AEW just signed a big deal with Fox Sports Mexico, in which featured them showing this pay-per-view. And again, this is a show or a match I would have kept on this show. I think Mark Briscoe and Jericho could have happened at an ROH pay-per-view or ROH TV or something like that. This is a match I would have kept on there because now your pay-per-view audience that might tune out a little bit during Collision or something like that is like, holy shit, who is Hologram? And let me tell you, the Beast Mortos could not be a better base. And for those of you who don't know what a base is in Lucha or anything like that, one of the reasons Hologram can do all this phenomenal stuff is because he's had great bases like Gringo Loco and Beast Mortos. And that's why you see something like a diving crucifix bombed in that first fall. This is a 2 out of 3 falls match, you know, to more reflect that of Lucha. But and to serve that audience, I like that Mortos did get a pin here because Hologram had not been pinned in any capacity. So that is a bit of a bragging right for the Beast Mortos. I wish we could see more of Jake Roberts and what he's doing. I'm liking that they switched LFI over to him. Like that's one out of left field I didn't expect. I did not expect that. I know Roosh wanted Jose the assistant back, but they're not bringing him back. He did request that recently, but this is a match that under normal circumstances, I'd be like, this could have been on Dynamite or Collision, but it did feel more important in front of this pay-per-view crowd. And it was a banger. And it served their new TV deal. And it got over. Like, it started, like, the crowd was not into this match at first. And then they were going wild for it. The portal bomb from Hologram on Mortos hit as well. This was so good, man. And again, I don't know how long this Jake Roberts LFI thing will continue because this is one where I just expect to be abandoned. Based on the creative direction that we have seen with AEW, this type of stuff gets forgotten a lot. Pyro for Ospreay and Swerve, is it staying? Well, now that Jimmy Jacobs is gone, maybe there's more... more pyro in the budget. I think for special occasions, or maybe they'll have opened up that budget as a result of the TV deal. Joseph McBride says, any updates on Danhausen, seeing him working indie shows and miss him on TV? He has not been on TV. I haven't heard of much interaction with them or anything like that. There have been no creative plans for him. I figure if there's a chance, it'd be here during spooky season. I'm working on an update there, though. Working on an update. Rex Fortune says, Hologram versus Dralistico will slap. Rouge versus Hologram is chef's kiss and possibly the first L for him. Yeah, I think that a very violent loss to Rouge could be something that really tests Hologram's ability to convey emotion. Because sometimes it can be very difficult with that mask. And it'll be a real test of his physical storytelling, as opposed to, man, he can do some incredible physical things that we don't usually see. I'll tell you something that I see a lot of. A good night's sleep, thanks to helixsleep.com/Fightful. I've mentioned this in the past. During the pandemic, I needed a new mattress. My spine was messed up. My lower back was messed up. My shoulders were messed up. And I looked online for the best reviewed mattress, and I found helixsleep.com/Fightful. 30,000 plus five-star reviews. Now, admittedly, it wasn't helixsleep.com/Fightful at that point, but I ordered and bought one of their mattresses. And I did that by going to their website, taking their sleep quiz, and getting matched up to the Dusk Lux model. And I loved it so much that I hit up Helix and I was like, man, I would love to work with you guys. I told them what it did for me. It increased my sleep. I went from getting 5.5 to 6 hours of sleep to a full night's sleep because I found a mattress that was catered towards me. And they were like, nope, we love it. Let's help some people. Let's do some deals. And we got helixsleep.com/Fightful. Right now, 20% off all mattress orders. And if you have any questions about investing in your sleep, they have a 100-night risk-free trial. They have flexible payment plans, all that stuff. Not only that, like I would wear my Samsung watch to monitor my sleep, and I compared the week before I got the Helix Sleep mattress, I compared it to what I was getting, and I was getting like 20%, 20 to 20, I think it was 23% more sleep with helixsleep.com/Fightful. They have a ton of great deals over there, and they have won all kinds of awards from Wired, from GQ, from everywhere. Plus, they're recommended by Fightful. How do I sleep at night? Perfectly fine on helixsleep.com/Fightful. Show those wonderful people some love. They've been with us for years. True story, I have two of their couches from their sister company, Allform, as well, because I wanted some ridiculously long couch. I bought this 7-seat sectional from there. Just wonderful. And I actually ended up updating my model as I've gotten a little bit older, and I bought a Sunset Lux model earlier this year. So now I have two Helix Sleep mattresses. Darby Allin was the betting favorite at BetOnline AG over Brody King, and understandably so, hometown guy. He played a bigger role in the end of this show as well. But the stair spot, whoo boy, filthy spot there where he pushed off Brody King. And like, you know, whenever you watch something and just somebody sticks to a surface, you know that hurt. Darby did the coffin drop to the outside. There was one of the craziest German suplexes you will ever see in your entire life. We don't get to see a ton of Brody King in singles action, you know, Continental Classic, stuff like that. But he delivers, man. He absolutely delivers. And you knew Darby was going to go crazy in his home area. So the way that this match turned out, the execution of everything, them putting on a great match that the crowd loved, I think it was a foregone conclusion. What I liked was after this, Brody King shook Darby's hand. Now, I don't know if this was like a sign of what will happen in the future, or it was just a, you know, let's really put him over in front of his home audience. But I love the way that this all unfolded. Joseph McBride says, I miss some shows. Missed some shows, but don't understand why Darby even gave Moxley the chance to win his title shot. The whole storyline made no sense to me. Yeah, it didn't make sense to me either, Joseph. They should have had a different way to get to that match because it didn't make a damn bit of sense. It just made Darby look emotional and ridiculous. And, you know, maybe that's an element of his character, is that he makes rash decisions. I mean, obviously he does throughout the course of a match, but to me, making rash decisions and making your character look dumb, and I want to be careful to specify. I'm not talking about the performer. I'm talking about the performance. I'm talking about the character that we're seeing. There's, you know, real issues there with being reckless and being a tough guy and then just being dumb. And that's what I felt like they made Darby look like. Vasco says, Swerve's pyro entrance was great. Good story, too. I liked that a lot. I did. Oh, man. Young Bucks defeated Private Party. BetOnline AG had Young Bucks as the favorites here. There were some people, as FightfulSelect.com reported, that wanted Private Party to win internally and have really enjoyed Private Party's work. I want to say this. Isaiah Cassidy is a good promo. Mark Quinn, I'm just glad to see him there and, you know, staying healthy and doing his thing in the ring after he had been out for so long at one point. But Isaiah shines on the mic. And that he has been able to prove that as well. And Mark Quinn holds his own. But this match was pretty good. I feel like the Young Bucks Elite storyline has really fallen off a cliff. I loved the video where they had Amazing Red hyping them up. And the thing is, if you don't know who Amazing Red is, you know enough from this video that he means something to Private Party. To me, Amazing Red means the guy that I saw wrestle low key and I said, this is like a Mortal Kombat game. Where can I see more of this? And it changed my life. In a time where I was not too satisfied with what I was seeing on NWA, TNA, and WWE. And the crowd throughout this entire match just completely got on Private Party's side. And I loved the way they explained this. Now, the reality is, a lot of times the booker drops the ball. The booker doesn't follow up the way that they should. Now, what was the issue here? Did Private Party not grow? Did they not evolve to the level in which they should have to stay near the top? Well, I can tell you what they did was they explained on commentary that Private Party, quite frankly, was more worried about partying after they got their first win on the Young Bucks, and they didn't live up to their expectations as a result of that. I like that a whole lot more than what we saw years ago when it's like, when the McMahons came out and they're like, oh, the reason our show sucks is because of Baron Corbin and Paige, who are our GMs. This one was a little bit more believable and it added to their character. They like to party and they let it get out of control. Rex Fortune says Private Party doesn't seem to need Stokely save him for someone who isn't the best talker. Stoke and Ricochet could be hilarious. I think Ricochet is going, or Stokely is going a different direction, but yet, like, Private Party doesn't need Stokely. I think Stokely is better served with somebody that needs him, and I don't think they need him. Jeff says, I'm behind, but they should have crowned Private Party. Missed opportunity. I think it is a missed opportunity. The work was great. The Destroyers at ringside were good. The Bucks kicked out of the Silly Strong. The crowd was so there for the false finish. So there for it. It worked out phenomenally. Now, what I want to see is Private Party emerge and keep this momentum going. Because right now, you have rebuilt Private Party. The Outrunners are getting over. MXM is getting good reactions. Listen, you can say, we can dislike the Acclaimed and want them to split all we want. They're still over live. Keep the gas pedal on this tag team division. Keep the gas pedal on it. The crowd gave them so much respect. I want to address this. They're the EVPs. They crown themselves. They do not book the show. Let me make that abundantly clear. They don't book the show. Jordan Scott says, Private Party loss felt like the Acclaim from before. Yeah, a little bit. I just remember back in the day, like when Too Cool won their first tag team title, and I was like, oh, it's cool, but they probably should have won it earlier. And it wasn't even that much time afterwards. Wildebeest, thank you so much for the generous super chat. Says, Sean, join the stream. Sorry if you already answered this. You know why Mercedes wasn't on the card? I went to tonight's show and was bummed. She was on all the promo material. This is the thing that I think AEW has to get better at, is delivering on who they put on the poster. You have the foresight. You have the talent. Here's the reality. Would they have had anybody that was in the right position for this match? Maybe, maybe not. They could have put her up against a girl from CMLL or from Japan and had a 10-minute slapper, and the crowd would have been like, yeah, that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. She holds the New Japan Strong title, and she is the TBS champion. So I think them not putting her on this show is – I think they should have done that. They absolutely should have done that. I want to see a show, because I mentioned all those people that they didn't book. Like, Okada wasn't in a match. Cole and MJF returned. Garcia wasn't in a match. You know, Omega's not back. Like, there's a whole lot of people. I want them to absolutely stack a card. They need to do that for November, that November Dynamite up against NXT, and for World's End when they got WWE in town. Oh, man. This was a great tag team match, though. I do feel like Private Party should win. How about this one? Mark Briscoe, who I interviewed, was a big favorite on BetOnline AG. I'm told he wasn't even told that he was going to win until today. They had a pretty solid match, I thought. Like, listen, I absolutely went into this going like, okay, all right. The build was, you know, evolving from the learning tree, which I don't like, out of the conglomeration for a singles match. Now, do I think that this should have happened on ROH TV? And you say, oh my God, this is happening on ROH TV. You should probably get our service and watch our world champion defend his title. Yes, I do. But, Jericho lost clean as a sheet, put Mark Briscoe over, 1, 2, 3, put him over in an emotional like story out of Mark Briscoe where he got very serious. And I thought it worked really well. Now, I know a lot of people have had issue with titles being defended on ROH TV, and I mentioned this to Mark Briscoe. He told me he wants more marquee matches on ROH TV. He has defended it each of the last 2 weeks. So here's to hoping that happens. I do think they're going to try to get ROH a TV deal. Whether they get it or not, I don't know. A couple things I liked about this match. Suplex on the floor was good. Jericho's still got a really clean Frankensteiner from the top. It still looks really good. There's the Briscoe senton through the table, and then Jericho doing the J-Drilla. After invoking Jay Briscoe's name, then he gets pinned by one. I thought this was good stuff. Did I need it 3 hours into this pay-per-view as opposed to on ROH TV? No, but it led to me getting to interview Mark Briscoe, and I was honored to do that. So all good for me. A funny story. When I talked to Mark Briscoe, I was like, you know, I heard a funny story about you and your brother slugging it out. And he starts to smile because I've heard a lot of them. But Eric and Ivar, the War Raiders, told me this story, and I wish audio would have picked it up so I could share it with you guys the way they told it. But I think it was Ivar had an ankle injury, and he was trying to figure out how to tape his ankle. And Mark and Jay went up to him. We're like, no, this is how you do it. And Mark and Jay started to argue about it while taping his ankle. And then they started to just fight each other, just throwing down, slugging it out. And Ivar said, you know, by the time it was done, they were fighting each other and hugging, and he had like 6 inches of tape around his ankle. I was just so happy to be able to reshare that with Mark Briscoe this week. And he was telling me they would fight at TGI Fridays and stuff. Oh my God. It was such a fun interview. Such a fun interview. Really loved it. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats, my friend. It is 1:20 a.m. We have a few of them in store. John Moxley was the Bet Online AG favorite to beat Bryan Danielson, although Bryan Danielson's retirement was underdog on Bet Online. And it's over. Bryan Danielson loses to John Moxley. So we're going to talk about everything that I liked, then what I didn't like, and then what I am in very much of, well, we'll see type of situation with. Loved the match itself up till the finish. You were probably expecting in-ring intros and this very dramatic John Moxley, Bryan Danielson. No, John Moxley said, "Nah, I'm whipping your ass during Final Countdown." And Danielson said, "Bet, let's go." And I love that it played through. If you're paying for the song, you might as well get all that you can out of it, right? The way to set this up was magnificent and violent. And again, I want to plug FightfulSelect.com. We have a story up about the way that this went. This was how Danielson wanted to go out. Danielson needs neck surgery. I know a lot of people have been side-eyeing his, I can't feel my legs, can't feel this. He legitimately was not allowed to do blood and guts. Tony wanted him to do blood and guts really badly because they had tried to make it work a couple times. And AEW doctors are like, this guy ain't doing this match. There's no way we'll let him do this. And I had been told that he even kind of regretted doing like the Jack Perry and Jeff Jarrett matches along the way because he was feeling so bad. Luis mentioned that it was a callback to the Morishima match, the opening brawl. Well, Danielson also does these dives. So this guy can barely walk in some situations, and he's doing dives I haven't seen him do in years. Especially that one where it wasn't during this match. I can't even remember where it was. I think it was this past week where he springboarded up and did the somersault senton. I'm like, what the hell are we doing here? I couldn't believe it. There was the pile driver on the table, and Marina got ejected as well. And I'll say this, like Moxley and Danielson, when I watch their matches, like there isn't one that stands out to me and I'm like, oh, you know what? That's one that I put near the very, very tip top of like best matches he's ever had. You know what I mean? Like there was the March 2022 was very good. They had one in September that was good. And I'm just trying to remember what my favorite Danielson and Moxley match was, whether it be WWE or wherever. But from an emotional standpoint, they're very good at that. From a physical chemistry thing, like there's none of those matches that I'm like, oh my God, this is one of the best things I've ever seen one of them do. But from an exploiting your emotions and making you be like that son of a bitch, or is he okay thing, they're very good at that together. And that's probably because of the level of comfortability they have with one another. And their familiarity. We get into the Death Riders on the floor and all that stuff. And you know, Danielson kicks out at one, and that really hypes up the crowd. I loved everything up until the last second of this match. Danielson gets choked out, and it's like the air went out of the crowd. And I don't mean in a oh no, it's over type of way. I feel like in that situation, which, by the way, in looking up news on this Danielson story, I found out like Swerve was adamant. I don't want to be choked out. I want to tap out at All In. I feel like Danielson should have been pinned or should have tapped out physically. There's something about a man in his last full-time match doing the old or the 1-2-3, that definitive thing. Like, I know that choking out has become much more common in pro wrestling these days, and it is a completely acceptable finish. To me, it is a submission tap out or a pin. He got clobbered type of thing. It was very abrupt, and it's like a, that's it? That's his career? Now it has been stressed numerous times. It is the end of his full-time in-ring career, which is important to note. It's probably going to play a role in the post-match. So, DNC Digital says, was confused because Brian's arms were moving, trying to loosen Mox's grip. He wasn't out unless I missed something. Don't know why it was called. I would have to go back and look if he was actively doing something, but the reality is I've seen a lot of people get choked out and be right there. And I know, like, this isn't a super chat, but Lobo, I'm not trying to minimize you or anything. He says he'll tap out or get pinned during his actual retirement match. Yeah, but this is why you do it. This is what you do. It's one thing for him to go out and then continue that beating. It's another thing for Danielson to be like, I've had enough and I'm ready to go home to my family, and then you do it. Because to me, the beatdown that you levy after the fact, when Danielson himself says, no Moss, I can't do it. Take me home to Birdie and Bree and what's his son's name? My apologies. To me, a guy like Danielson being willing to say, I can't handle it anymore, let me go home, and then them doing it, I think that goes a lot better. Buddy. Buddy is his son's name. Thank you, guys. So let's talk about what happened afterwards, because it is very polarizing. And I don't feel like AEW has booked a lot for heat over the last year and a half or so. Right? Let's pull up AEW All Out. I'm going to go to the finishes of these shows. Hangman Page defeated Swerve. That was a situation in a lights out match where they had a slapper, and a lot of people sympathized with Hangman. So a little bit there. Danielson beat Swerve at the pay-per-view before that. Forbidden Door, you got Swerve standing tall over Will Ospreay. That was, you know, a lot of people loving that, but like, it wasn't booked for heat. It was just the finish of a match. You haven't seen a lot of stuff booked specifically for the heat, and they clearly want to put a lot of heat on these guys. Now, here's something that I want to make sure of. Marina is very clearly getting promoted in a big way here. But this is Moxley, guy who was in WWE a decade ago, Pac, guy who was in WWE a decade ago, Claudio, guy who was in WWE a decade ago, and now they clearly want to evolve Wheeler Yuta in some capacity. And I think we all saw something like this coming with Wheeler Yuta. Moxley immediately put a title belt in the bag and was like, yeah, get that out of here. And Darby came out to make the save. Yuta made the save as they attacked him. And then Yuta hits the knee on Danielson. So he takes the move and then puts the plastic bag on there. Guys, again, I watch an awful lot of Investigation Discovery. Somebody getting a bag put over their head is not that extreme. extreme. Not that extreme to me. I understand that, like, from a visual standpoint, a lot of people look at that and they're like, okay, well, I'm certainly not accustomed to that, but there was an awful lot of stuff that people aren't accustomed to. I got no problem with that. I thought that everybody that was selling this sold it really well. Look at the way that Jeff Jarrett came in there and slugged it out. He was trying to fight John Moxley. Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin had this somber look on their face. Excalibur cried. Cried. They sold the hell out of this. Now, this, much like the Cole and MJF thing, if there is not an appropriate follow-up to this, I think I'll probably look different upon this. I'm already like, you know, if I start out at a 50 out of 100, I'm like 49.8, right? Like, we're already going to be bummed because of Danielson. I'm like a 49.8 just because I think Danielson should have tapped out specifically. But let's get to some super chats. Vicky says, hi, SRS. Sad my heroes lost tonight. Can you address the use of vignettes lately? Darby's was awful. Private Parties was yuck too. I loved Private Parties, Vicky. I know you didn't like Darby's, but I actually think they should have done more. I think that promo that the Young Bucks cut in the ring should have just been a promo, like a black and white promo as well. Darby's are hit and miss, very hit or miss, but they need to do more of them. It's something that WWE has gotten very good at, where, you know, 1 week Rhea isn't going to be on the show, so you see a vignette. You see them with everybody now. And what it does is it prevents your talent from walking out there unprompted with a mic and being like, here are my issues with you. Because it is of my opinion that by and large, the paying viewer is getting smarter. And who wants to watch somebody come out with a microphone and be like, here is why I don't like you, grown adult. Tell them in a vignette, in a cool produced vignette. Are they setting up a Mox faction versus the Elite? I do not know about that. I don't know how you babyface either one of those two factions throughout this situation. What does Christian do? Was he even there tonight? I think Christian steers clear of that title because you've got Claudio, Pac, and now Wheeler Yuta effectively protecting it. Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Tony says, one thing I like about them putting the belt in the bag, it's like a metaphor for Mox to keep not just the belt, but the whole company hostage until there is some that he feels worthy of beating him and restoring what he believes AEW truly is. Yeah, and Louise is pointing out that the champions in AEW are currently heels. Are they all of them? They are. I mean, we did go through about a year of a pretty feel-good era. I mean, like, listen, Swerve, like, was the shades of gray area, but people were pulling for him. So between that, Danielson, MJF was over as a babyface with Cole, but by the time he lost, people were ready for Samoa Joe to win that title. He should be back soon too, man. Tony, that's a very good point. Josh says, fun fact, out of all the 13 individual world title reigns in AEW history, Moxley has 4. Do you think that's too much for their short history? No, because they view Moxley as, like, in 92, Hogan to WWF is what Moxley is to them. He is their guy. He is the logo. He is their Jerry West. He is the guy that they always have relied on. He is the guy that has always, you know, been there. Since the first debut, he helped them make an immediate impact. So I think it is important there. Benny says, we know where Brian goes after the L. So with that lack of reveal, anything new for the BCC leaves it without a cliffhanger, I think, is the letdown. I would like to see, even from our non-paying chat, Benny, not to piggyback off of this, but also you did say that he's the franchise man. I want to know what specifically about that ending segment disappointed you. Because I understand it being a vibe killer for sure, right? Like, it is absolutely a vibe killer. But also, I want to see if they develop some sort of interesting story out of this. I want to see if they tell me some sort of compelling twist or story. Like, I want to see something. Yeah. And listen, David Bixenspan posted a tweet. Sorry if I'm getting him any grief. It says, but why didn't Daniel Bryan finish the story like Cody? And he says, decades of nothing but baby-brained, insipid McDonald's wrestling did this to the fan base. Doing things different doesn't mean it's wrong. That's why AEW exists to begin with. Stop acting like there is one formulaic way to book, enjoy, watch, view wrestling. I enjoy the hell out of WWE by and large. I think it's the best that it has been on a consistent basis in 20 years. And like I look at AEW and I'm like, man, they need a creative renaissance in a lot of ways. But then I can look at something like Hangman and Swerve and be like, that is objectively one of the best stories I've ever seen in wrestling. Doesn't mean I gotta like all the show that happens there, but I'm willing to look at this and go, well, that's pretty good. Oh, Roman Reigns hasn't done anything babyface related, but you know what? They've done an awful good story of making me go, what is The Rock doing here? What's Solo doing here? Kevin Owens just turned for like the seventh time. But I'm emotionally invested in him. It's got me going, well, it's Kevin Owens, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he knows that this is the bag on him, right? Like, he knows that the whole audience is saying, like, this again? What's the reason for it? And his performance and the way that he behaved on SmackDown made me go, ah, okay. I want to see what Adam Cole and MJF say on Wednesday or Saturday. I want to see what these guys in the BCC say and do on Wednesday. Fictional characters. The story isn't over yet. There is a solid chance that I look back on this and go, damn, that sucked. I'd like to see Danielson's full-time career end another way, but there's also another chance that in a year, I'm watching Danielson wrestle at Wembley and going like, yeah, okay, whatever. One of the best Chasing Amy references. That one was Jay and Silent Bob. Watched all of those movies this week. Finishing up with Clerks 3, which is... Listen, buddy, I'm going from Wrestle Dream to watching Clerks 3. I'm just apparently in a let's get depressed mood. I want to say thank you to all of you who joined us live. Our great sponsors, Helix, Nord, Manscaped, and BetOnline.ag. You can. Somebody says you aren't ready. I've watched Clerks 3. I've already watched it. I'm rewatching. But I want to thank all of you. I want to thank all of you that subscribed to Fightful Select. If you haven't done that, please do that. I promise you'll like it. It's sort of like a down period in the wrestling subscriber and super chat time, and it would mean an awful lot. Somebody says, I'm taking it back. Listen, I rewatched Clerks 2. I could not believe, couldn't believe some of the stuff made that movie. Like, looking back on it and how much I watched it, and I was like, oh, yeah, funny jokes. Couldn't believe it. I want to thank our moderator, Luis, for being here and helping us as well. Big time. We got, we've got a few super chats and humper chats here. Viral Moments News Sports and Learning says, BCC direction doesn't make sense. Mox isn't the draw with the current presentation. Any word on creative for the club and Mox? Well, that's the big question mark. They are implying it's for somebody else or for the greater good or something like that. Isn't the draw with the current presentation? I don't know what you mean. I know that, like, traditionally he's been a baby face and that's what puts asses in seats, but I'm not opposed to saying that he could be the draw where somebody wants to finally see this guy and his unstoppable group get their asses whipped. As far as the creative direction, I think it's going to come down to, like, what is it that's going to stop them and who are they serving? DNC Digital says, my prediction is correct with Hornswoggle signing a Legends deal. I didn't think Vince's son would show up tonight. I worked with Hornswoggle 7 months ago. It was so much fun. That guy is a really good wrestling mind. I could see Hornswoggle serving as a producer or agent somewhere. Like, that guy has a really great wrestling mind. It was an honor to be able to do stuff with him. Irene says, while the GOAT Brian losing was a bummer, losing to a former close friend, Mox was meaningful, and it seems like AEW original Darby Allin is next up. Darby was considered at one point for a title reign in the interim, but didn't end up happening. Darby, I think they gotta shore up the promo work there, because I get taken out a lot by some of his promos. Like, I love doing interviews with the guy. He's so real and so loyal to AEW, but I feel like they need to shore that up. But I think you're probably right there. Tony Khan did not do the media scrum today. They had decided by earlier this week that he wasn't going to do it. They said that he went to the hospital with Bryan Danielson, but yeah. Guys, I want to thank you all so much. I am exhausted. Until next time, friends, we are out.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, happy Friday. Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.